Okay, turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to remind you to make sure you continue to pray for Mrs. Canise for her health. And pray for the two ladies that accepted the Lord last week in Budapest. And I think it was last Saturday, Pastor Jim saw this couple three different times on the streets in Budapest. The third time he figured that maybe he is supposed to invite them to church. The man did come on Sunday. His wife, mistaken identity, was put in jail overnight, but was released. And they both came, I think, visited the Canises on Monday. They're homeless people. And they are thinking of, I think the man is a Christian. And I don't think they have anybody that goes to church yet that works, has a job. Of everybody that goes to church, no one has a job. They're retired or whatever, but no one has a job yet. So they have a long way to go, but they're beginning to get a fellowship of people that enjoy one another. And they've had a number of people who have been saved. Mrs. Canise was telling me about this one lady. I'm not sure. She's older. she's got saved and said that, you know, she's been looking for the truth for a long time and hasn't missed a service in 2 months. And so a very unusual group of people, very difficult situation, but the Lord's doing something there. And you think of, you read Brother Jim's emails, you know, he's out on the street doing chalk drawings, and his wife is playing the flute, and they're just, you know, doing whatever it takes to reach people. And so what a challenge it is for them. So continue to pray for them. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Of course, in all the books that deal with the Jewish people, a very religious people, we have the problem of that is seemingly dealt with over and over. And that's the problem of profession versus possession. And as a religious people, Matthew, of course, emphasizes that. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Here we find the same issue with the book of Hebrews, as the Jewish people were kind of on the fence, determining if they would go back to Judaism, leave Christ and Christianity. And so one of the summary truths here is that the just shall live by faith. And he's in contrast to that, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, in the book of Hebrews, I think that there are some spiritual principles that take two different applications. There's some spiritual principles, some spiritual attitudes that are taking place that the Apostle Paul is dealing with. And those attitudes, if allowed to go to fulfillment in their life, would cause these people to go back to Judaism. And if they go back to Judaism, well, then there is no Messiah for them. Christ is not going to come again and be crucified. But on the other hand, it's these attitudes that represent a spiritual status, spiritual thinking, spiritual heart that can take place in people's lives, and that is very serious to get into that state of mind. And you know, we're this phrase, draw back. Well, we think of the parable of the sower, and we see these professions of faith, and then we see troubles come, we see persecution come, we see the cares of this world, and the plant dies out. I think those represent people who are not saved. They profess to be saved. Of course, the fourth soil is the only soil in which they say that they had understanding. And it'd be good for you to read James Frazier as he was in Lisu land. He had many professions of faith in the beginning days. And when difficulties came, those people turned back and left their profession and went back to idols. And of course, he went through tremendous trials. And of course, the Lord eventually brought him through that. And you read that great biography, and he learned a lot of principles about what does it take to have real fruit versus just professions that don't last. And of course, those principles are some of the things we're talking about here. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back. Obviously, it's a contrast. And I thought of some simple principles here that are kind of opposites of what he's talking about. And so let's put it to kind of take a summary application of this book. I have six or seven things. What we ought to be careful about in our lives, in our spiritual lives, as we look at the book of Hebrews, as we look at spiritual attitudes that are can be very dangerous. And these aren't necessarily in any specific order. But let's look at some of them. Let's look at, first of all, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, the subject, of course, is laboring to enter into the rest. Now, the people of Israel, they were afraid to go into the promised land. They were afraid to trust God. They were afraid to have to go through the battle. And of course, they didn't get into the promised land, that generation. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, a Christian, as a Christian, we can become self-satisfied and stop growing and stop going forward. And stop tackling problems in our life. You know, they say what you are at 18 is pretty much what your character will be for the rest of your life. Now, that can be pretty bad. If a person's lazy at 18, they're going to have trouble with laziness the rest of their life. You know, Christ saved us to change us. And you can be 55 and you can still be battling the same, be on the same ground you were on for 20 years. And Christians can stop laboring to enter into that rest. They can just get lazy, right? Now notice a couple things here. It says, labor to enter into that rest, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It tells us the key to going forward, the key to victory in the Christian life is laboring in God's Word. Memorizing the Bible. You know, if we're going to get a victory over any one area, we're going to have to labor. You know, we would like to have it, what should we say? We'd like to rather have a zap Christianity. You know what zap Christianity is? You know, we make a decision and walk the aisle and zap. You know, we're changed. You know, that's what we'd like, wouldn't it? But you know, it doesn't work that way, does it? I mean, there may be an occasion in a person's life where they really, that's really a turning point. But typically, no. There has to be labor. There has to be labor in God's Word. And, you know, very specifically, there has to be a memorizing of God's Word. Person has to decide, okay, there's a bunch of verses I need to memorize about this particular subject, and if I don't memorize them, well, obviously, they're going to be lazy and they didn't really want victory anyhow, but there has to be memorizing of God's Word. Secondly, there has to be the meditating on God's Word. That's one of the keys of memorizing anyhow, but meditating on God's Word so that it can sink into our soul. Probably that is the number one thing that is missing today in our lives is meditating on the Bible. Okay? All right, Jessica, you're sitting in the spot tonight. Okay? When was the last time, you don't have to answer the question, but when was the last time you just start thinking about the Bible? And you start thinking about a particular subject in the Bible. And you start thinking about that and thinking about that and meditating on that and reviewing it in your mind and applying it to your life and applying it to life in general. That's how the Word of God is quick and powerful. You know, there has to be labor. And so he said, labor to enter into that rest. Hebrews chapter 11. We're just kind of giving some highlights of the book of Hebrews here. Actually, I'm trying to get... I probably know less about the book of Hebrews than when I started. I'm getting more and more confused. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Of course, we have a chapter of faith. And again, here is these people who are in this mode of thinking, of neutrality, you might say, of spiritual indifference, where they're thinking in actuality, they're in this process of drawing back away from the Lord. We're giving some principles of how not to have that take place in our life. Secondly, is Christians need to take steps, be taking steps of faith. Christians need to be taking steps of faith. Now, when you get to be a certain age, I suppose when you get to be 22, you probably figure like you made every step of faith that you could ever make. And there aren't any more to make. Well, what are you going to do when you get to be 50 or 60 or 70? Or 70. Wow. So what do you do when you get 70? You've reached the plateau and there are no more decisions to make. No. There are it is continually important that we take steps of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need to understand that principle, that if we do not take steps of faith, then we are in that mode of thinking, we are in that mode of spiritual realm that we would call... what do you want to call it? Neutrality or drawing back. It's a dangerous spiritual place to be. Taking steps of faith. And you of course, the book of Hebrews. Now, obviously, these Hebrew people are going to have to take a big step of faith about what they are going to do. But you and I need to be constantly taking steps of faith. How about it, young person? When's the last time you made a big step of faith? You know, we don't necessarily have to have big steps, but little steps as well. Steps of faith that we are definitely trusting God. We are specifically putting ourselves at risk. We're risking something, whether our time or our reputation, or our money. We're risking. We're stepping out for the Lord. We're going forward. You know, we never go forward by accident. Taking a step of faith. Notice chapter 6. Actually, it starts in verse chapter 5. But here in this passage, it says, of verse 11, chapter 5, ye are dull of hearing. You can see that neutral attitude. You know what I mean? You can just see that spiritual attitude that's a part of people who are drawing back. You know, they're dull of hearing. You know, they heard the message. They aren't making any decisions. They're just kind of coming to church. They aren't getting anything out of the message. You know, there's this negative, kind of dead spirit. It says here, they were dull of hearing. Verse 12, but when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Here it's talking about going forward into maturity. He says, you should be teaching, but you're babes. Now, you know anything about a babe? Well, you have to feed them. You have to wash them. You have to clothe them. You have to protect them. You have to care for them. You know, you're always serving them. What about a teacher? Well, a teacher is the opposite. They're serving, aren't they? They're preparing for their class. They're giving for their class. They have prepared for their class. They're giving. A person who has not matured they're in that place where they're in that dangerous ground where they could easily draw back. Okay? How would I say that? Well, you know, let's just give an example. Let's just say a person has come to Mequonago Baptist Church for 2 years. Okay? You know, and they go to someone and they say, you know, not many people at church talk to me. You know what the problem is? They want to be served. They're still a baby. You know, after 2 years, a person should not be waiting for someone to come talk to them. They should be going out and they should be talking to other people. They should be finding that visitor and going and talking to him. They should see that need. They should be going, you know, what if the pastor just kind of, you know, at the end of the service, he sat up here, you know, on a platform and, you know, he says, now, you know, you just come up to me now, you know, you need to come talk to me, you know. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, the pastor's supposed to be going out there to the people and talking to the people, encouraging the people, and telling the people how glad he is to see them and welcome them. There's such a thing as growing up, right? You grow up. You shouldn't be... You know, if you're saved any length of time, you shouldn't be coming into that seat and just plunking yourself down. You ought to be looking for something to do. You ought to be looking for someone to minister to. You know, you ought to be on the lookout. You know, you have one excuse to look out the windows, looking for visitors. You know? Looking for needs, looking for people. You know, I think, you know, you can be a child even as a young person. You know, you can be a child too long. You need to be looking out for someone to minister to. Okay? There's a transition. And you know, I think some people, they probably like to be professional church hoppers because every new place they go, you know, they can become the center of attention. You know? They can become the center of attention. Because after you've been in a place for a certain long, you shouldn't be the center of attention anymore. You should be the one that's, you know, giving it out, right? But notice the warning to them, the instruction to them, says they needed to go on. They need to go on to maturity. They need to go on from being babes to being teachers. And I think this is an important lesson for Christian people. You know, the normal growth is you are being served just so long. And the whole process is to build you up so you now go out and serve. I remember my wife one time went to church. I don't remember the whole story, but she went to the church. And no one said anything to her. No teenager said anything to her. And she went through that experience and she decided that, you know, that she was never going to do that. She was not going to allow someone to come to church and have no one talk to them. Well, that's how you're supposed to react to life, aren't you? You know? Oh, hey, this is how I learned. This is how I learned to serve. So, there's this principle going forward in maturity. Growing up. Giving out. Don't just take... And, of course, this... why is the Dead Sea dead? It only receives. Yeah? And you take Christian that only receives, guess what? They're going to die. They're going to die. Okay? Well, we don't have much time left. Let's turn to Hebrews 10:25. This kind of goes along with us. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice that great principle here is the principle of testimony, holding fast our profession of faith. Notice the principle of ministering to others. Notice that important principle. You know, we come to church to be fed, but we also come to church to minister to others. And there's a double half here. You know, what if you're only one half of it? That's a dangerous position to be in. One last verse and we'll close. But I think it's important just in the context. Hebrews 12, verse 15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. How is it that people can come to a crisis, they can come to a difficulty, and instead of in that difficulty, that becomes the downfall in their life? It's because they have failed of the grace of God. You know, God's grace is always sufficient. God's grace is always sufficient. There's a little saying, I don't know who made it, but something like this, the grace of God will always sustain you where the will of God leads you. I remember when I was in seminary, the church I was associated with as a youth pastor was growing very rapidly. And in fact, we had about 150 teenagers on a Sunday morning. And one of the men in the church, very influential men, was constantly trying to get me to quit seminary and to come on church staff. And I was very seriously contemplating it and had a lot of good excuses, maybe why I should. And I thought about that, this principle. I thought, you know, God's will, God in His will doesn't lead you to do something to quit. This can't be God's will. He didn't lead me to go to school to quit. He led me here to finish. And no matter what the obstacles are, God's grace is going to be sufficient. And no, that's the crux of life. What are you going to do in the difficult moment? You're going to appropriate the God's grace, or are you going to fail to appropriate God's grace? Of course, it talks about Esau. He failed to appropriate God's grace. And he became a bitter man because he failed to appropriate God's grace. And that, again, is kind of the tipping point. Turning back, or going forward. Turning back or going forward. You know, God's grace always has us go forward. Life, difficulties, circumstances, trials, all of those things can cause us to draw back. God's grace always causes us to succeed because it causes us to get our strength from Him and not ourselves. Important principles throughout the book of Hebrews for people who are considering or at that point of perhaps drawing back. And each one of us face crises in life. We face life itself. These are in principles for us of which side are we going, which direction. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word and for the principles of Your word. And I pray that You would use these truths tonight in different lives, that we, Lord, would be a people that goes forward, going forward by faith, going forward in Your word, going forward in obedience, going forward, Lord, in service and going forward in your grace. And so, Lord, help us to appropriate and make those important responses that we need to. Perhaps you're here tonight and the Lord has specifically spoken to you about something in your life, and you need to just take this moment to say, yes, Lord. Yes. Yeah, Lord, I will obey you. I will take that truth. I will trust you. I will go forward. I will let you have your way in my life. God's trying to speak to you tonight, and you need to let him have his way. And just by an uplifted hand is indicated, say, yes, the Lord did speak to my heart. I've let him have his way. I've submitted to him. Just raising my hand as a testimony of decision, and also that you would pray for me. Anyone here tonight, God spoke to you. Okay? Amen? Important truth. Anyone else? Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay? God spoke to me, and I settle that with the Lord. And rejoicing in that, please pray with me, Pastor. Anyone else? Just lift up your hand. Lord, I thank you for your people and for your working in our lives. May, Lord, may your people appropriate your grace in their lives. And we thank you, it is sufficient. In Jesus' name, amen.